Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, Chapel Hill Town Council will be meeting virtually, among other things. They will be getting a presentation on racism in society and specifically conversations about reform, particularly with regard to the criminal justice system. Town Manager Maurice Jones, Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, who also heads up the town's Community Safety Department, will both be giving the presentation along with Housing and Community Director Lauren Clark. Town Manager Maurice Jones and Police Chief Chris Blue join us here now in the studio to continue this ongoing conversation. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Aaron, for having us. Here.
So I've got questions, but so much has happened in the last couple of weeks. And Chief, we spoke last week. Maurice, we haven't had a chance to speak yet. So what have been your thoughts over the last couple of weeks? It's a lot to process and a lot to think about.
It is a lot to process and think about, especially coming on the heels of COVID-19 and everything that our country has been dealing with that. Since March, obviously heartbreak has been part of our feelings. Feeling helpless to watch a man be killed on video, 8 minutes and 46 seconds, that George Floyd was under that knee of the police officer in Minneapolis. For African Americans all over our country, that's not a new experience. It was once again a reminder that for some people, we are seen as subhuman in a different category than other human beings. And it's heartbreaking to see that happen. And you're seeing now, once again, the anguish of African Americans and fear and anger that's coming out on this issue. And it's the issue of police brutality, obviously, but it's also a deeper issue with our country when it comes to racism and discrimination that we've had in our country since its creation. So it's not shocking that things happen. It was shocking to see that happen for a lot of folks. There's that side of it, which is the kind of the personal side and the revulsion that you see with that. And then there's the how do we take all that anger and fear and anguish that we're having? How do we as human beings get a chance to express that, which you're seeing a lot of in our country over the last couple of weeks or so? You're seeing it a lot in our community in a very peaceful way. We had 3 protests last week, and they were very peaceful protests. There was a lot of anger there, a lot of passion, and a lot of cries for healing in our community, in our country, and how can we improve things? And we were all very pleased that folks, many folks, 3,000 by our estimates on Saturday, came together from all walks of life to voice these concerns. So what we have to do as a community now is to develop ways to take the next steps in improving those relationships and the next steps in ensuring that people feel safe and are safe and have equal opportunity in our community. That's our job, is to work with our community to listen to folks and to be responsive to that in the coming weeks and months, because this will be a conversation, I hope, will be a conversation that will continue, right? Because we've seen this happen before in our country where people have had these experiences. You've seen people die in ways that are unacceptable in our country, and you have these moments, and there's some reform that comes out of it. Thankfully, here in Chapel Hill, we've seen some real honest reform that's come out of it, and some policies that have been put into place, not only in the police department, but throughout our organization and throughout our community, to try to bring people together to address these issues. But we want to continue to have those discussions in an effort to have action and make change.
Mm-hmm. Chief, you're nodding through all of that. Add on to what Maurice said.
There's not much I can add, but we were just talking out in the lobby before we came in. It feels different right now. And we were saying we hope that's a sustained feeling. There are people talking about these issues now that I haven't heard talk about them before. And, it remains to be seen what communities do with that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our community will make the most of this opportunity, and I do see it as an opportunity. But that remains to be seen. And I think what's really important for those of us in positions like ours, I mean, we have some things to say and we have some good stories to tell, but what's also important is to listen and to hear, because there are voices out there that we may have an opportunity to hear now that in the past didn't feel like they would be heard, and so they didn't make that effort. And so we've got to create those opportunities. We have to listen. We have to be responsive. We have to put personal feelings aside and take advantage of what may be important moment in time.
Mm-hmm. What have you heard from residents, and how have you absorbed the conversation that's been going on nationally?
Chief, I don't know if you want to start that off.
Sure. I mean, I think one of the things...
I was looking back and forth between the two of you. I don't know which one of you wants to take it first.
Well, let me just say this. I've heard from many of my trusted community stakeholders that... Well, we talked about listening, and what I've also heard is that we need to take our time and process, because there's a lot of information that people are sharing now that they haven't felt like they could share before. And those of us who are in positions to maybe hear that and try to turn it into some kind of action, we really need to be patient and make sure all the voices are heard, and not succumb to that temptation to just do a few things quickly and in the interest of being responsive. And I believe those are genuine interests. But we're talking about hundreds of years of work that needs to be undone. And as Mr. Jones said, I think we've got opportunity, but we've got a long road ahead of us. What we do with that will be the measure of our community.
Mm-hmm. It's been a variety of voices that we're hearing from, and we'll continue to hear from, I'm sure. We'll hear from folks tonight as part of our discussion over our policing protocols and the investments that we make as a community, and issues like housing and public housing and community building, which this town has been committed to for a number of years now. And folks are, they want to know more. They're the folks who are asking for questions. They are asking questions of us. What are your policies when it comes to police enforcement and law enforcement? What are you doing when it comes to some of these human services issues? And what are you doing to try to address issues of discrimination and racism in our community? Those are questions that are coming up. We have had folks who've said, you need to defund the police department. And that means different things to different people. What we all will engage in is an educational discussion about what our police department does, what we're committed to, what our values are, and then what our values are as an organization as well, and have those really important discussions with our community about what we do, what we've done to change our policies in recent years, and what more we can do in the future. So those are really important things for us to hear from folks as to what they would like to see, what they hope to see out of their police department and out of their organization, their town government, because it's not just about policing. There's a lot of focus on policing, and rightfully so, in terms of what we saw in Minneapolis and what we've seen in other places around our country in recent years. But it's about those other issues as well. It's about making making investments in community, making investments in programs that help lift people up and help bring some level of equal access that a lot of folks in our community, especially people of color, have not had.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's such an important point, because, and I wanted to come to this at the end, but it's a perfect time to talk about it now. The presentation tonight is going to be the two of you and also Lauren Clark, who's the Housing and Community Director, and that just underscores how important it is that when this conversation is had, it's had systemically across the board, because systemic racism is about policing and everything else, right?
Absolutely. And it's also about education. It's mm-hmm. about our schools. It's about our universities. All the institutions that are out there that at some point or another you can point back to and had less than ideal values when it came when it comes to the issue of race in our country. We all have to understand that. And I say that to our employees when we talk about issues of discrimination and race. It's that, when people are angry at our institution, they're angry at the town, or they're angry at the police department, or they're angry at, and of course we don't run the schools, but if they're angry at schools, a lot of that's based on their own personal experiences and then things that they've heard from their family members and seen their family members go through historically. So we, instead of being defensive about that, we need to be open-minded, understand where people are coming from, meet them where they are, and then move forward together.
Speaking with Maurice Jones, just heard from him, town manager of Chapel Hill. Also speaking with Chris Blue, who is the chief of police of Chapel Hill and also heads up the Department of Community Safety, which is a worthwhile thing to emphasize because that's a recent development in Chapel Hill. And also all of the conversations that are happening nationally about defunding the police, police abolition, have to do with taking this law enforcement mindset and expanding it out to say, well, let's talk about community safety. And what does that mean if we think about it holistically? That's a move that Chapel Hill is already in the process of making, right?
That's right. And I think it has been interesting to hear the just in the last week, the defund the police conversation evolve. And of course, there are folks who think we should just do away with the police, and there are folks who think we should do nothing. I don't agree with either of those ends of the spectrum, but I do think it is absolutely legitimate to think about what resources can we fund better that will lift up, as Mr. Jones said, people in our community, and in doing so, maybe minimize their impacts with law or their encounters with law enforcement. I mean, there is no question that we have become conditioned in our country. When you see a problem, you call 911. And in fact, we tell people to do that all the time. And the reality of it is, you know, I'm very proud of our police officers, and they can solve many problems, but there are many problems they cannot solve, yet we ask them to. We are fortunate that in some ways our police officers have access to some resources in this community that others do not. Nevertheless, applying a police officer to an issue of homelessness is not an acceptable solution. And it's what we do, and it's what other communities do. Applying a police officer to many mental health calls is not appropriate. It's not the right remedy. Our tools are limited. No matter what our hearts say, our tools to address that are limited. And there are others. So I'm hopeful that this conversation of community safety, whether it's with a big CNS or a little CNS, will prevail, because there are lots of elements that go into what community safety looks like, and I think we have an opportunity to decide that for our community.
I was thinking about this. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, one of the things I was going to add is that the chief talked about having the tools to try to address some of those other issues that our officers run into on a regular basis. One of the things I was impressed with when I came here back in August of 2018 was the fact that we had a crisis unit within our police department made up of folks who are not police officers, but who have a background in social work and crisis management, and they work with folks who are in distress in our community. And so when our officers see a situation that they believe that the crisis counselors would be in a much better position to try to handle, they will work with those crisis counselors to get those issues into their hands to help those folks get to the resources that they need to help them.
This is all fantastic. How can we do it better?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are a lot of questions. And one of the things that the chief has been doing in the last couple of weeks, especially as we're listening to folks and hearing from them in their community, is to take a good hard look at our protocols and our policies and procedures. And I think on one hand, he was pleased because a lot of the things that folks have asked for, we're already doing, especially in practice. Many of them are spelled out in our policies and procedures. But there's a number of things that we're doing in practice that aren't necessarily in our policies, written out expressly in our policies. And so this has given the chief and his command staff the opportunity to look at that and look for ways to actually incorporate that in there.
I think we might have talked last week about the 8 Can't Wait program. We'll talk a little bit about
that. I think
it
was just learning about it when we spoke, yeah.
Well, same for us. I had not heard of that campaign, and we'll talk about that a little bit at the council meeting tonight. That is an example of what Mr. Jones said. I think we are fertile ground in our community and in our department to make good on many of the promises that we've made in our community over the years, and that now I think there's a different kind of groundswell of support and expectation. So I think we're well poised, but I want to be sure that I say that I'm really proud of what we do in our police department. I think we're darn good. I do not for a minute think that we're exempt from the criticisms that other police departments are getting. I think, as I said, we're fertile ground to grow and continue to be leaders, but I don't for a minute think that we've solved all the problems, and I wouldn't want, as we talk about the good things that we do, to forget that. So we're committed to the work, and we'll continue to work hard on it, and I think we have a chance to lead.
Just quickly on the 8 Can't Wait initiative, of those 8 steps, and without spelling them all out, how many of them are already in place?
I think that's a good quiz question. We were just looking at this morning. I think 5 or 6 of them, I would argue, are explicitly in the policy right now, but probably not easy to find for a someone who doesn't read police policies every day. Probably by the council meeting tonight, if not shortly thereafter, we will have explicit connection to all eight of those. I think it's absolutely true that, you know, when it comes to strikes around the head and the neck, for example, we've always treated those as deadly force, and any of those kinds of strikes or moves or holds should be considered deadly force. Many departments do not. Mm-hmm. But that has not been expressly put in our policy. It's been included in our training. That's an example of one of the things that we will make much more clear. Because saying it's our practice is important, but putting it in black and white is critical.
Speaking with Chris Ballew again, Town Chief of Police in Chapel Hill, Town Manager Maurice Jones also here, and I want to keep talking for an hour and a half, but we have to wrap up. Final thoughts, what are the next steps here?
Well, I think an important part of what we're going to do as a community, I think, over the course of the next few weeks is to listen to people, right? I mean, we've given people the opportunity to do that tonight as part of our discussion about the policing protocols and other community initiatives and assistance that we invest in. There will be a discussion over the budget tonight. Unfortunately, we're in a position right now where the budgets around the country for municipalities are not great. And for some of us here in North Carolina, we know it's bad. We don't know how bad it is just yet because the sales tax is a big part and an important part of what we collect to help balance our budgets every year. And we won't know until next week what the March numbers look like, mm-hmm. Aside from bad, right? I mean, everyone knows that they're not good. So there's not a lot of wiggle room right now when it comes to municipal budgets around the country. My hope is that we'll continue to listen. We'll be responsive to what we hear in the community. We'll create other opportunities to hear from folks. We're having some discussions with other organizations in the community about having listening sessions or town halls at some point. Haven't nailed down the dates just yet on those, but those will be other opportunities to hear from people and to talk about how we can move to action.
Chris Ballew, final word?
Well, I think I just encourage folks to take advantage of both upcoming opportunities, but also to take advantage of existing organizations that can influence us. You know, we have a Community Policing Advisory Committee. Had a well-attended meeting last night, but many months, honestly, no one shows up to those meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity to really influence how we communicate what we do and how we hear from our community. Same is true for our Town's Justice and Action Committee, which is another really important social justice committee. Works closely with our Community Policing Advisory Committee, although they don't always agree on things. That's actually the beauty of that, having a different mechanism for people to be heard. So future opportunities, yes, and take advantage of the existing structures that are in place to influence which way we go. Again, I think we have opportunities right now that we haven't had, at least in my lifetime, and I hope we take advantage of it.
townofchapelhill.org for more information. And again, tonight's town council meeting, am I right about 7 o'clock being
7 o'clock,
the time?
Yes,
7
sir.
O'clock, yeah.
Yep.
I said it and then I was like, maybe it's 6:30. No, it's 7 o'clock tonight. It's going to be online, so get the link to the stream there. Maurice Jones, Chris Ballew, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Aaron.